Hello, I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, with an ARRL Audio News Extra Edition. From time to time, ham radio operators around the U.S. take on extraordinary projects in support of their communities. They bring their considerable skills, experience, and passion for public service to creating novel solutions. Williamson County, Texas, is located midway between Dallas-Fort Worth and San Antonio and is a high-risk tornado county. The Williamson County Ares Group has constructed a microwave backbone link among several local hospitals and other key Ares sites. The backbone they have created can substitute for existing commercial broadband links in the event of their loss in a disaster. Tom Whiteside, N5TW, is the spokesman. He is joined by Mark Stennett, NA6M, and Jim Kinter, K5KTF. No stranger to the digital world, Tom has already constructed several Windlink installations in the county. But Ares felt they needed more: resiliency, versatility, and functionality. Here's Tom Whiteside.
And we had a series of Windlink assets in the county. We had something on the order of 7 different Windlink installations at hospitals and one police department and one EOC. And I guess I should add to that, we've added one for the county EOC since then. And I have a Windlink station here at my house that is capable of HF as well as VHF, and it acts as a backbone that can hub messages if we ever lose the internet.
But the motivation in building the microwave backbone was different. Ares wanted to link some of the hospitals together directly, speeding up their broadband connections in the event of a disruption to commercial service. Decentralization was also an objective.
In addition, we wanted to be able to decentralize things so we could actually move one HF station and some of the VHF stations so that they would operate independent of my location, with backed up copies for the database, so that if a tornado ever came through, that the whole system could continue operating. So that was one set of motivations, was how can we make Windlink work a lot better?
Once the plans for the backbone began to take shape, other possibilities became apparent. Mark Stennett, NA6M, described some of these possibilities, linking broadband and existing Ares assets.
But as I got to looking at the hardware and the architecture, it became obvious to me that this project could have multiple uses far beyond just broadband hamnet itself. And with the advent of radio over IP and all of these linked locations, it became obvious to me that this could be utilized for remote receiver sites. Double duty on receive antennas for APRS, the possibilities are near endless.
Jim Kinter, K5KTF, has been instrumental in the planning from the early days. He has worked with the Williamson County Office of Emergency Management, evaluating solar battery-powered cameras for photo and video emergency coverage using the cellular telephone network. He found a better way.
We, I was talking with some guys at the Williamson County Office of Emergency Management. One of their ideas that somebody had come up with was at our low water crossings here in Central Texas, where we have a lot of flooding, they wanted to put up webcams looking at the yardsticks to see how high the water was. They were thinking of doing it over cell phone coverage, which would get expensive. And I said, well, if we get this network built, we could just use IP cameras and, solar battery and have stations just up running on their own, and it wouldn't be costing cell phone bill. That was one thing. Doing file transfers, anything for the EOC, moving files, data, pictures, if there's an accident on the highway, we could get video, back to the EOC. As Mark said, endless ideas can be run, it's like having our own virtual network.
When a project like this begins to take shape, it attracts many supporters who also see the possibilities. It can become daunting when these supporters step forward. Tom Whiteside explains.
One of the things I should mention is one of the problems we had talking about this and with any kind of big project is we have all these agencies that say they would love to participate, but it's sort of daunting because there was no connectivity between any of them. And so that goes back to the original discussions was we felt like if Ares bankrolled a microwave backbone link that was sort of strategically laid out so it could hit a lot of these assets, or at least be close enough that they could, that the agencies, for the cost of one link, could connect into it, that would be something that would help sell it.
Assembling a microwave backbone poses several technical challenges. Equipment choices, gigahertz frequencies, foliage, and rain are a few. Mark Stennett believes in over-engineering what he calls fade margins.
Well, fortunately, in this day and age, the hardware itself is not very expensive. There's many ways to skin that cat. We looked at numerous hardware architectures and decided on the Ubiquiti line of radios and dishes. And it's working out quite well. But you just don't go and decide one morning you're going to hook up two dishes and have them work. Path studies are crucial to the performance of any network, regardless of whose hardware you're using. You know, we're dealing with gigahertz frequencies here, and terrain is a problem, as well as foliage, and also, believe it or not, rain. So over-engineering the fade margin on these links was critical to its success.
Microwave has unforgiving features. Even a small misalignment of antennas can seriously degrade the signal. Mark's done it again.
Yeah, with two-foot dishes on each end of, for example, an eight-mile path, if you're off 2 degrees, you're critically low in your signal strength. These dishes have typically have a 7-degree beam width.
The team faced other non-technical challenges even before they commenced installation of the equipment. Jim Kinter reminds us that first you must get access to the roof.
Well, the biggest challenge, I guess, overall would be the bureaucratic process of getting on roofs and towers and all that.
Yep.
Once you get through that, then it's just, you know, running some Cat 5 or Cat 6, preferably the UV, you know, Cat 6 that you can run outdoors, get that run up to your spot, maybe put a couple of mount poles up on top of Cedar Park Hospital. We had a big thing made that had like six pieces of pipe sticking up, so we could have up to like six dishes coming off of it, and then just run the Cat 5 down into the attic of the hospital and hook it all into power. And then the networking stuff, going into, you know, good quality switches so that it can carry the overhead, which Mark, you know, took care of a lot of the switching. But basically mounting it and then spending lots of time getting everything aimed just right. And we're not talking just left, right, but also up and down. Because if one site's higher than another, you got to aim one down, one up. Because that 7-degree beam width, you know, you want to get it right on.
It's typical that networks will continue to grow, adding links and nodes over time. After 1.5 years, the Williamson County network continues to expand, and it's working well. Tom Whiteside, Jim, and Mark connect all the dots.
So let's just talk about where the system stands right now. I'm the trustee for a couple of the repeaters that we use that Mark mentioned earlier. And I should say one of them has great coverage on the west side of the county, and one of them has great coverage on the east side of the county, and neither one, you know, great at covering the whole thing. We've had those two linked with that microwave link. They go through, I believe it's 8 radios on that path, and they've been working for about 1.5 years, and they worked very well. We lost the link one time when a truck ran into a power pole and knocked out power in one of the water towers that supports one of the links. But Mark also has control of a property that a nonprofit local broadcast station operates in, and was kind enough to let us. And by the way, that tower serves as a major switch point for this system. And he was kind enough to let me locate one of my HF Winlink stations at that site. And so it runs there, helps me to cover frequencies without interfering with each other. And it's my backup.
Well, Tom, also speaking about frequencies, we're using several bands in this project here. We use a lot of 5.8 gigahertz air fiber from Ubiquiti. We've got 3.65 WiMAX, which does require a license. Unfortunately, they don't issue them anymore. They've got other plans for that spectrum coming up. And in at least one instance where there is a wireless ISP operating from the tower they own, they did not want us to use any of the frequencies that they use, so we end up using 3.4 gigahertz down in the ham band. Yep. Acquiring that equipment, however, has been a challenge.
Yes, yes.
As it's not type accepted for its typical use in the U.S., but under ham radio licensing, we can run unencrypted connections, and that's how we achieve that.
Right. And, of course, since it's a ham band thing, we have to be much more strict about what kind of traffic is allowed on that. That one primarily covers data for a voice over IP for the repeater. So that's certainly appropriate.
Well, and over on the west side, we have some more 3.4 gig from the hospital to a couple of ham sites. My one friend John, and then over to me, we have 3.4 running over there. So yeah, we just got to watch what we do over it. No encrypted stuff to stay within Part 97.
Yep. More Winlink stations and connection with you for broadband hamnet. Jim, do you want to say something about the police department?
Yeah, the one hospital where it kind of all started was Cedar Park Regional. Me and John KE5RS way back when just started playing with the broadband stuff. Trying to get some mesh links together. And since we had access to that roof, having an Arches station there and a really good rapport with them, we started putting stuff there, trying to link over to John's employer about 9 miles away, I think, Mark.
About 9 miles.
Using the older WRT equipment. Once the Ubiquiti gear started coming online, we started getting much bigger and better bandwidth, you know, and links going on. So from there, then it spread across the county, you know, and we replaced some of the older stuff with the newer gear, got much better connections, and it's going well.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, one of the facilities we hope to get connected soon is our county ESOC facility, and a lot of the agencies have critical needs to be communicating with them, so I think that one will be a real driver on getting more connections to the systems. But that's where we stand right now. That's a quick summary of the Williamson County Area's Microwave Backbone Project, and we thank you for listening.
The Williamson County, Texas Area's Group is a model demonstration of how new technology can promote new, valuable emergency communication solutions. While the creation of microwave backbone like that described today demands many skills, ranging from microwave engineering to physical construction, they are not beyond the talents of this group of radio amateurs. And thinking about it, not beyond the aspirations of so many Aries members as we strive to keep current and keep relevant to the mission. Our thanks to Tom Whiteside, Mark Sennett, and Jim Kinter for sharing their experience with all of us. If you, your organization, or club is doing something interesting with amateur radio, we want to share it with all members in a future extra edition of ARRL Audio News. This is Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, at ARRL headquarters for ARRL Audio News Extra Edition 73.